How great is the love our Father has lavished on us, that we might be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Amen. Brothers and sisters, sheep of the Good Shepherd, who's offered his life and taken it back so that we might live with him forever. It's been a long time since I've heard it, but I can still hear my mother's voice. Can you hear your mother's voice? No matter how long she may no longer be a part of your life on this earth, can you place yourself at a scene somewhere in your childhood, and pretty quickly you can hear your mother telling you what you should do, maybe even correcting you? In my case, that happened with some regularity. Do you listen to your mother? No, I'm not saying do everything she told you to do the way she told you to do it, because you're adults, you're grown up, you're mature, you've got a life to live. That's not exactly what I mean. This is the way I want you to think about it. Can you envision a day somewhere in your future where for an entire day you do not do one thing, say one thing, or interact with someone in relationship that is not impacted in any way by something your mother told you or taught you? I can't even envision that happening. Not in my life. I'm very blessed for having a good mother. But the reality of what we've learned from the moment of our birth in the earliest of our years, how formative it is to the way we live our lives on a daily basis, leads us to see the value of that relationship and how it's probably not a bad idea to every once in a while have it on your mind. I know what I was taught, and this is where I should go in this moment. Now, the reason I began that way was so I could actually kind of quickly switch gears on you on this Mother's Day to ask you this question. Do you treat your Savior, your Good Shepherd, in a similar way to how many adults treat their mothers? I remember what she said to me. I listen to her even now. But what she says is kind of just background music, background noise to my life, and maybe I'll consider what she's saying, maybe I won't, but it's really my decision, and that's how this is going to roll from this point forward. By any definition of what you see in the gospel lesson and what you see in the scriptures regarding our relationship with our Good Shepherd, can you define that attitude as following the Good Shepherd? It's worth our consideration and our contemplation, and perhaps today's gospel will sound just a pinch different to you with those questions on your mind. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Jesus had given these religious leaders all they needed, everything they needed to know without a doubt whether or not, not only did he claim to be the Messiah, but that he was the Messiah. They were only pushing him in this moment for a completely different reason. They were pushing him to say it specifically because they were collecting evidence against him, wanting to try him for blasphemy and hopefully get a conviction and a death sentence. And you may recall that during his trial, they had witnesses, even paid witnesses, but they couldn't get any two of them to agree on anything anyone was saying about Jesus. And so, in that moment, the high priest, the leader of these religious dignitaries that came to Jesus this day, he broke all convention. He went against all legal thought and even regulation of the day. And he charged Jesus under oath to give him an answer. Now, if you're familiar with our Constitution, you understand what the Fifth Amendment means. When you plead the Fifth Amendment, nobody can get you to answer any question you choose not to answer that could incriminate you. That's a legal concept that's long, long, long in the making before it ever made its way into our Constitution. That was what was legal that night at Jesus' trial. But the judge, the high priest, put it to him anyway, breaking all convention, and demanded an answer from Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus answered clearly. He left absolutely no doubt. That's why the high priest tore his robes and said, "What do we need any more witnesses for?" And then they convicted him. Not because they could prove in any way that he was not who he claimed to be, but they had heard him pronounce himself to be what they wanted to hear from him. And so they convicted him and sentenced him to death for being exactly who he actually was. When Jesus stated his works testified to who he was, you and I have so many more things we can add to that list of works that prove to us who Jesus is. We have the resurrection of the third day. But we also have so many other miracles, so many other realities, not just from the pages of Scripture, but throughout the history of the church. And that evidence even in our own lives and relationships. And we come to realize we have every reason to see the resurrection as the greatest miracle of all time. And the resurrection was exactly what Jesus was pointing to in these verses when he spoke of his ability to give his sheep, to give you and me, his sheep, eternal life. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection on the last day. This is the ultimate promise and work of our eternal God. Father and Son, as defined in these verses, who are one in working our salvation and one in preparing our eternal reality. But that truth gets so often lost in the weeds of our day-to-day lives. Christians get so caught up in the work and the struggles of life that we forget to listen. We distance ourselves from the voice, and we fail to follow our Savior's voice. We will be led to forfeiting the imperishable realities of life with God. Our Good Shepherd calls us to experience a flawless eternal existence that no one can take away from us, according to these verses. The complete and permanent victory of Easter is what we celebrate on these Sundays after Easter. And that victory is so profound, so compelling, so complete in its impact on our lives that it deserves an entire season of Sundays to celebrate it and to contemplate it. And we have every good reason to celebrate the resurrection and remind ourselves of it every single day of our lives. And that is what leads me to the rest of what I want to speak with you about today. On both sides of my family ancestry, there is a multiple generation history of depression, anxiety, and addiction to the point of suicide. Between my family and friends, I have experienced people I care about taking their lives every decade of my life. I was forced to have to think about this already as a very young child in my elementary years, as one of my first cousins and one of the other children from the neighborhood in which I grew up committed suicide during that time in very public ways. I have known many who have grown up with the scriptures, many who have grown up with parents who were Christians, who invested themselves deeply in teaching their children the truths of God's word and showing them the path of salvation, and yet their children still chose to end their own lives. And if you have been keeping an eye on the headlines of the last 2 years, and especially the last months and weeks, you know that high-profile suicides are becoming more frequent. So why am I bringing that up right here and now? I have a very simple answer for you. The words of two phrases in our gospel lesson. No one will snatch them out of my hand, and no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. I believe those statements with all of my heart. I have never been professionally diagnosed with either anxiety or depression, but I believe that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, planted deeply by others at the center of my heart and life, that is the reason why I have not experienced these maladies in my life by this point. And I want to be clear at this moment that I am not saying that anyone else experiencing these maladies lacks faith, and I'm also not saying that the gospel is a complete cure for these challenges, whether they are genetic as they are in my case or not. I'm simply saying that I can honestly say about this reality, the same way I can honestly say about so very many things in my life, the phrase that I heard often in my childhood, "There but for the grace of God go I." And so I am extremely concerned at this moment about the mental health crisis of our nation and our community. And I am also equally, probably even more concerned about the spiritual crisis that both are also experiencing. I am concerned because I know the difference that listening to Jesus and his Father's voice make in my life every day. And I know and I see the difference that listening to Jesus, the Good Shepherd's voice and his Father's voice, make in the lives of so many wonderful Christians that cross my path and share my life with me on a daily basis. But I also know full well that among them, there are many who are suffering, who have big challenges in front of them. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want anybody else to know about it. And I want to point everyone to the best help we can ever reach out for in moments like those. And that has to be our Good Shepherd. There is really never a single day of our lives, never a single day of our lives, when we do not need to be listening to the Good Shepherd's voice. Day after day after day, we need the Word challenging us to be honest about the words we speak, the things that we do, the attitudes that we demonstrate, the thoughts that we think, so that we are fully understanding just how far short we come of reaching the expectations of our Heavenly Father, so that equally we hear the Good Shepherd's voice saying, "I have taken care of that for you. I have lived your life. I have faced your temptations. I have come into this world for the very express purpose of living the broken human experience to its fullest, so that I could be your answer. I could be the one earning your righteousness, the payment required of you before your God, so that you might live with him forever. And no one can snatch you away. Eternal life is yours. Believe that. God wants us to be bathed constantly in his unconditional grace, his mercy, and his love. And God always wants us to be fully conscious on a daily basis at any given moment of his unbreakable commitment to us. No sin we commit, no thought we think, no word we speak can ever place us beyond God's reach, with one exception. And that would be that ultimate sin of looking God in the eye and telling him he's not welcome in our lives, to take a hike, to get lost. Please don't let the devil ever convince you the way he convinced Judas and others that ending your life because of a grievous sin in particular is something you can, that you want to, that you have to ever do. Rather, open the Word, call a Christian friend, make an appointment with a Christian counselor. Either drink deeply of God's word of forgiveness and love for you on your own, or reach out for someone else who will pour out that word of God's forgiveness. Pour it out for you so generously and for as long as you need to drink it, to be certain of his love and his forgiveness, his promises and his peace. If suicidal thoughts ever cross your mind, ever, even once, don't keep that to yourself. Tell someone, especially tell someone you know will remind you as many times as you need to hear it, that you and I can never be snatched out of the Good Shepherd's hand, never out of his Father's hand either. This business of gathering as Christians for worship, as a family of believers, is all about forgiveness. It is about each and every one of us understanding the complete and free forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. But it is also all about learning how to forgive one another. The burden of guilt when someone believes that they are not forgiven, that they have been canceled for something they have done or said, clearly can become enormous, and for some, feeling as though it's too much to bear. That burden can grow so heavy it causes thoughts that our God never wants us to think. And that burden can be used by Satan to believe we are beyond forgiveness, even beyond the reach of God's help or his interest in us. That will never be the case, Christian. Never. Know without doubt that your good shepherd will never, never let you be snatched out of his hand. Know without a doubt that your God is the creator of the universe, that he has all power, all knowledge, all wisdom, every resource you need at his disposal to lead you by the hand, to carry you in the moments you need it, to make you certain of his plans for you, that he's preparing a place for you in the peace and the joy and the eternity of heaven right now, in a place that will fulfill you, make you complete in ways beyond your ability to imagine, say nothing about understand. And so be certain that you are a sheep. And that's a good thing. A sheep following the Good Shepherd's voice. Listen as you hear that voice and follow where it calls you. Follow where it leads you in your daily time spent with your shepherd. And know every step of the way, he's never going to let anything, anyone, even your own thoughts in your heart, in your mind, snatch you from his eternal hand. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.